All right, let's talk to Dr. Sean Richardson. No one better placed to talk about this sort of stuff than this man. The psychologist at Fremantle, working there as a consultant with Ross Lyon. He's done pre-draft interviews a number of times. Hasn't actually done them this year, but he has been in this industry for a long time. Worked at Melbourne, the Saints and the Gold Coast as well. Dr. Sean Richardson joins us on the line. Morning, Doc.
Good morning.
Hey, Sean, you've worked in this industry for a long time now, and we're always learning more about it. How much emphasis are clubs placing on these psychological tests, particularly before they get drafted?
Yeah, I think there's probably a long-winded answer in some ways. Psychological profiling in terms of trying to understand the athletes when they're becoming drafted is they spend a lot of time on that. The actual testing, like using what you might call a psychometric test where a player fills it out, it gets done, but I think you got to be careful with that stuff because these young guys, they know that they're being drafted, so they're going to try to put their best foot forward.
Yep.
And so sometimes that's going to skew those test results somewhat. And there's also a limitation in terms of that test, what you can tell from it.
So what are you looking for, Sean, when you're profiling someone?
Well, I'm probably, I'd be saying, what are the key characteristics you want in an athlete from a behavioral point of view and an attitudinal point of view? And that's not going to come out just in a psychological test. It's sort of part of the ongoing assessment that the recruiters are doing throughout the year. So some of them are probably figured out their way to be pretty good at it already. But when they sit down and talk with me, we'll talk through, how can you gather that information? What sorts of questions should you ask? So, one of the interesting ones these days we hear a lot about is this sort of resilience factor. Does an athlete respond well to adversity, the setback? If you're a defender and you get a goal kicked against you, you get pretty flat for a few minutes. If you're forward and you miss kicking a goal, you get flat. Like, those are the sorts of things that are important to bouncing forward and staying concentrated in the game. So we want to try to gather information that answers that resilience question.
Also, one of the things I think is fascinating, especially I've sort of seen it with my own eyes coming from Alistair Clarkson and Hawthorne up to the Gold Coast, where I was surrounded by 40, 18, 19-year-old kids, feedback and how coaches have to talk to players at quarter time and half time. The days of coaches coming down and really giving strong feedback, loud voices, abusing them maybe about certain things, now has to be done in a certain manner to certain players because of their personality types.
Yeah, look, I think there's definitely an increase in awareness for how different players and different personality types respond to feedback. It's good to get to know your players and know which ones can be sort of responsive to a bit of that stronger kick up the backside, and others who probably need a bit more of a cuddle. And it's probably not even so much personalities, but also knowing timing as well. So, if you know your players well, he's been struggling a little bit. He probably needs a bit more support. He's the kind of player that keeps on going. He's been flying. He needs a bit of a rev. So there's an element of knowing personalities, but there's actually an element of just knowing behavioral science, which is understanding what sorts of communication works for all players. And perhaps, so regardless, there's good research in psychology and behavioral science that tells us that certain types of communication for feedback works better. We use an expression, support the person, challenge the behavior, which is you can actually give people a pretty hard word if you don't make it personal. Support the person, but give them tough feedback about their behavior.
I think one of the most important characteristics to become a successful footballer, and this is just me speaking, is to be self-motivated. Because especially, in the off-season, when you're not training amongst your teammates and things like that, to be self-motivated and continue year in, year in, out, week in, week out, to try and get the most out of yourself, to run better personal times.
That's how you improve.
Bench press, all that sort of things. Yeah. But what sort of players, how many sort of players that are getting drafted are self-motivators? Because some guys are just happy to just do the system, go through, train. Once that's done, it's all over until they get back to the club the next day.
Yeah, look, I couldn't give you numbers in terms of how many, but you're spot on. It's a pretty important factor to say, are you taking initiative? And are you taking initiative on your own? How does a young player even know? So probably what it takes, you'd think, some of them do it naturally. And some of them just, and some of them don't. But I tend to put less influence on the sort of the comments about, you know, they're naturally self-motivated. Maybe because it is something that you can learn. And so for some of them, it'll just be a matter of not knowing that they should be doing that. Now, these days, I think that the development goes a lot deeper. So there's a lot more emphasis on this sort of thing with regard to, you know, young players coming through the ranks, come through the system. And so they get that input from their coaches that, you know, this is the sort of thing you've been doing. If they don't take on that advice, so if they're in the know, they've been advised that this is what you want to do if you want to make a team, then you kind of have to dig a little deeper and go, why aren't they responding? And the word that comes up for me there is not so much motivation, but purpose. Is that, you know, what's really driving an athlete? Because motivation is a thing that actually comes and goes. It's actually, it's a feeling. You know, when you, some days you wake up and you're tired, you don't feel motivated. But you still go anyway. And so it's not actually how you feel. It's what you think and do. So if you have a big enough reason, you do stuff even when you're not motivated. So I tend to not talk about motivation, but talk more about purpose. So, you know, how do you inspire these guys with more purpose? What can they find that's important to them to put in the extra work and discipline? And often the guys that have that already, it's because they've had influences in their lives, you know, whether it's parents or coaches, who've really inspired them with a big enough reason, and they're really driven to that.
Sean, is there a particular red flag before we let you go? One certain thing that would be a red flag for someone in your position when interviewing a player?
It's a good question. Yeah, probably the most obvious one is, I also need to say it, is if I've seen it happen at clubs where a player's not really that keen on going to that club, and the club believes we can turn them around, we can convince them, and then a few years later, that player's still not that keen.
Which is particularly pertinent for a club like Fremantle, isn't it, being on the other side of the country?
Yeah, you really want to dig deep and go, how much do they want to be at this club? Because that's going to show up in the next few years.
Dr. Sean Richardson, he's been working as a psychologist, as a consultant with Fremantle. Hey, Doc, before we let you go, have you done a profile on Ross Lyon yet?
No, I don't profile Ross. We just have a good dance going on, mate.
That'd be an interesting profile.
Yeah, it'd be an interesting profile. We might get you on after you've done that. Hey, Dr. Sean Richardson, appreciate your time.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks, guys.